Our first scripture reading is taken from Psalms chapter 46, verses 4 through 11. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Good morning. That's what, three good mornings so far? First of all, I want to say, after the good morning, thank you to my dance partners, Terry and Brett. Was great. And also to all those who put together a worship service. When you don't do this on a regular basis, it's really amazing how many people put how much time in to prepare one, or now two, worship services that happen in this sanctuary every single week. Lots of hands, lots of minds, lots of hearts. So I am grateful for all who sing and prepare, and I'm going to forget somebody, do all the things that make it possible for us to stand before you and give you what we believe the Lord has given to us in the words of Scripture and music and preaching and prayers, the message for this day. So, that being said, I want you to know it's really a pleasure to be with you this morning while Pastor Bob is away. You've had a couple of people recently, or at least one person recently, preaching when Bob was away, when Bob was in Italy. I wonder how many of you were here when the preacher was here on June 29th. Just raise your hand. That was about 3 weeks ago. Okay, great. Anybody remember? He had a microphone. He did what I'm not going to do. He had a microphone. And he came down and he roamed, didn't he? He roamed, Patty's shaking her head. He roamed around here among you. And one of the things he did was kind of came right up in your face, a couple faces, and he asked some questions, right? And he started out, at least one of the questions that really stayed with me and with Wayne and I as we kind of talked about it, was something that I just thought was a great way to begin. He said, this may not be just word for word, but you'll know the message. He asked, who gave the first and the shortest sermon? Does anybody remember that question? Does anybody remember the answer?
Mary.
Yeah, Mary. And the sermon was, he is not here, or he is risen. What a great thing to do to start, right? So I have a question for you. Okay, you ready? Now, that was a wonderful question. So here's my question for you. It might be a little bit harder. Call out right away if you get it. What was the pastor's name? Peter, you can't speak. Okay, Peter, what?
You can tell.
All right. Nice. We've got it from the group in the back here. Peter Ayukachali. Remember that name. You know, we don't get those names because they're not Frackman or Stolzfus or Welk or Carr, but it's a different kind of name. So well done, well done. So remember that name because I'm going to refer to him later on. I thought he was captivating. So I'm going to say something about his message. And now, will you pray with me, please? Holy Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hear the words from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret and who sees in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. My goal this morning is twofold. The first is that we accompany your pastor, our pastor, on retreat. Well, obviously, we can't be in Alaska, which is where he is, in case you didn't know. What a great place to retreat. We're here. We are his, our community of faith. And so this morning, my invitation to us is going to be that we accompany him on retreat. We're going to do that in a couple of different ways, and you will get that it is sort of retreat. But I just really thought if he was going to go on retreat for himself and for us, why not do that for him and for us and all together for God? That's kind of the message that I got in my seeking what to say this morning. The other goal that I have this morning is to see what Scripture shows us that lifts up the value of time apart. So here's what I want to say. Some of you know that I used to be very active in the healthcare field as a chaplain. And in that field, there's a phrase that you hear a lot, and many of you will know this. The phrase is A-D, the letters are A-D-L, A-D-L. They mean activities of daily living. The term is used for an assessment term. It is assessing people's care needs. Frequently, you'll hear it in hospitals or in institutional settings, with insurance companies perhaps, physicians' offices. It's sort of a clinical way of saying, how are you? Activities of daily living, it's a term for assessing what an individual might need, or a home, or a couple of people might need, for the practicality of their routine, safe, and healthy living. It might refer to assistance needed for dressing or eating or mobility, getting around. It could refer to managing medication or memory support, transportation, assisting with the care of a living space. Well, from the beginning of chapter 5 in Matthew's gospel through the end of chapter 7, Matthew describes Jesus as teaching a very practical piety. So here's my suggestion to us this morning, that we call his teaching spiritual activities for daily living. That would be S-A-D-L. Did anybody notice that was the title of the sermon? There's the clue. Spiritual activities of daily living. Matthew has created a dialogue on the challenge and the reward of the life of a disciple. Some scripture scholars teach that the Sermon on the Mount is the keynote of the New Age that Jesus came to introduce. They indicate that an internal analysis and a comparison with Luke's gospel suggest that the writer of Matthew's gospel has taken portions of other scriptures, other gospel messages, and inserted them into this account of the Sermon on the Mount to make a very important point. There's significant importance in what Jesus is teaching the disciples. He and Matthew uses the Beatitudes to describe God's favor to those who live so that their lives will be pleasing to God, what we all hope for. This morning, I want to focus on one particular aspect of Jesus' teaching found in these chapters, one of the ways of communing with God, quiet presence. Listen to these words from Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. You've already heard them, but I'm going to use them from the Message, which is not really a true interpretation of Scripture, but it gives a flavor of language for today, and I like the clarity of that sometimes. I'm going to read it slowly, and after I read it slowly, I'm going to leave a couple of minutes of quiet before I go on to the next thing that I have to say. So I'm going to invite you to just take those couple of moments, not a half an hour, just a couple of moments to reflect for yourself on what you've heard in those words. Here is what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense God's grace. There are many, many scriptural references that encourage those who read the scriptures and read the biblical text looking for guidance to spend time apart with God, apart from doing the faithful acts and generating faithful works. I'm going to read more of them for you this morning, slowly. And I'm going to pause after each one to invite you to take the time to hear the words being spoken to you. We are on retreat with Bob. You heard this verse this morning from Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. From Psalm 62. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. My salvation comes from Him. From the book of James, chapter 4, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. And from Mark chapter 1, one of many similar descriptions of Jesus' routine spiritual discipline. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. The spiritual activity of daily living, the SADL, that I'm encouraging us to reflect together on this morning, was very well said by someone that you know. Hear these words. Times of reflection, times of silence, times of deliberate meditation, times of prayer. All of these times serve as opportunities for our Savior to break into our normal routine and catch our attention and refocus on what he considers to be the most important aspect of our lives, our active relationship with him. If these words sound the least bit familiar, they are Pastor Bob's words. So if you didn't remember them, go back and look at the e-news. They were in his last e-news to us before he began his 3-day silent retreat. He is there now, as we are gathered here this morning. Bob's focus in saying that to all of us was to seek to know how God calls us to serve God through this church, through our lives. And I would add that we are to seek to know how to live every day, to make decisions, to think politically, to think ethically, to be who we are as spouses and parents and friends and children and adults and neighbors. We need time to hear that voice. So I'm inviting us to deepen our meditative, reflective, spiritual discipline in our life as Christians. It's an important part of spiritual practice. If you don't already do that, I encourage you to add it to your daily walk. The scriptures and Bob's words remind us of the value of going apart as one of the ways to maintain communion with God. This benefits us as a faith community. So this morning, we are in communion with our pastor. And he doesn't know that. But I suspect he might have a sense of that. As we practice corporate reflective prayer together, for him, with him, for ourselves, and for God. God doesn't always speak in a loud voice, and God doesn't always hit us over here in the head. Sometimes we have to stop because sometimes God's voice is a whisper. So, in addition to the reflection on scripture verses as they speak to you, I'm going to offer another way of reflection. Something that perhaps some of you do on a routine basis. Not as quiet, not as silent, but one that may suit you better. We're going to see a brief video. It's about 3 minutes. There is a video to look at. There is music to listen to. I invite you to do both of those, or if you wish, to close your eyes and just listen to the music and reflect that message for you.
One perhaps on the mountains, one perhaps the sea, one pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick, one pair of hands raise the dead, one pair of hands calm the raging storm, and thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you.
In this congregation, we have many, many ways to serve God, to be active and busy. All you have to do is open the bulletin, not now, later. Lots of ways possible, lots of things that we already do. But as Bob reminded us in his words, it is of utmost importance to seek God's direction as we listen for God's call to serve. I'd like to share one more example with you of the practice of listening to the message of the Spirit. This is probably not something you're going to run right out and do, and maybe some of you will have done it, but if you take what I'm going to tell you and show you and bring it down to something that seems feasible, it's another way of being in communion with the Spirit and listening for the voice of God. So, I'm wondering, are any of you familiar with the movie The Way? The Way? Raise your hand. It's been out for a long time. Martin Sheen. Yeah, Martin Sheen going to Spain to look for his son who was deceased on the Camino. Okay, that's The Way. It's a powerful, if you haven't seen it, I really encourage you to see it. It's a powerful and inspirational story about family, about friends, about challenges that we face while navigating this ever-changing and complicated world of our lives. It's an important way to think about how real life is. So I have a friend who just, a couple of you may know this, who has just returned from walking the Camino. She is the person who leads the spiritual direction group that I'm a part of once a month. She just came back from walking 500 miles across parts of Spain. It is called the Camino de Santiago. And she walked from France. She began in France, and there's a couple of ways to begin, but she began in France to go to the Santiago de Compostela in Spain. I would think maybe we're not going to do that tomorrow, but I want you to see this as a way that we can walk, because she went to listen. And it's very interesting to see how we find different ways to listen. So I'd like you, as I talk with you about what she shared, to look at the PowerPoint that we're going to have up on the screen. And the PowerPoint pictures are pictures that my friend Diane took on her trip. Okay. These are some of her observations and mine as well in listening to her. One needs to begin. You have to begin open and awaiting and expecting. There are arrows. You saw that yellow arrow that show the way. Those arrows mark the way. And the slides are going to repeat, so you'll be able to see them. Those arrows are very clearly marked along the way. They're on the streets, they're on rocks. The way goes through towns and fields and open areas. We don't always have sharp arrows like that to lead us. Sometimes we're clearly called to go as we try to make choices and decisions. And even though the road is long or rough or windy or rocky, We are called not to stop listening. But there's a delicate dance between solitude and community, where we learn from the people around us, each other. Solitude and community can help to provide the way to find one's way with God when we present ourselves before the Creator of life. I'm not suggesting that we all rush out and sign up for the next flight to Spain. But I'm thinking about going, Wayne. I offer this as an example of keeping one's spiritual ear to the ground, to be attentive to what God desires of us. This is clearly one very intense way that some have been called to deep communion with God. But it's simply to say how important it is to listen for the voice of God, even when your camino is a walk around the block. When Reverend Ayuka Chaley was here 3 weeks ago, he roamed around, and he said some things that I think are really important. I noted them because I knew I was going to be preaching today, and I thought they were so important. So here's what he said to you. We are called to spread the gospel. And then he said this, several times in several ways, God speaks to us in the silence. And how will we know where to go and when to go if we don't stop to listen? Amen.